We would like to say a special thank you to Lois Graff for sponsoring this week's episode.
And so the sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is not like a moment of decision for a sheep. They're you know, pretty passive, stupid animals.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Scripture First, the podcast that explores how the Lutheran lectionary is working in your life. I'm your host, Mason Van Essen. Many of Jesus's I am statements lend themselves to comforting depictions for Christians. I am the light of the world makes for a nice painting. But in today's passage, Jesus is the gate. Sarah Stinson teaches us how Jesus is being categorical in this text. There are two options: enter through the gate by hearing the shepherd's voice, or climbing in another way, which makes you a thief and a bandit. Many will hear this as a prescription. How can I be a sheep and not a thief who steals, kills, and destroys? But this is an election text that depicts what happens to you when you hear Jesus' promise. The sheep hear my voice. I came that they may have life. This is a passive act. Here's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And now on to this week's conversation. Welcome back to Scripture First. We have the one and only Sarah Stinson with us this week. And like the thief that comes only to steal and kill, the thief has also came to steal and kill Carrie's voice.
That's exactly right. She's a little croaky.
Mason, I was going to do this. Like I'm answering the phone. Hello. Hey. So that you could tell. But yes, I thought when he said the one and only, I thought he was going to say me, if we're being honest. So I was like getting ready to be like, oh, thanks, friend. But no, thank you for being with us, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay, so we were talking before we started recording, and I said that this sounds like Jesus is talking to his disciples because he generally is lecturing them and giving them parables to help them understand.
Right.
Or parable-like things.
Yeah.
But you said he's actually talking to the Pharisees here.
Yeah. And so this is really important to know. There's only 10 verses here. It's John 10, verses 1 through 10. So what happens literally just immediately before John 10, verse 1, is this text is picking up kind of partway through the story. And the story is when Jesus healed the man who was born blind. So that's the kind of the backstory. And the man then told people what had happened, and then he was thrown out of the community, the blind man that Jesus healed. He's thrown out. Jesus finds the man, and the man confesses his belief in Jesus as the Lord. And then some of the Pharisees heard that, and they heard Jesus then effectively calling them, the Pharisees, blind, those who did not see and confess Jesus as Lord. So this is picking up on Jesus addressing the Pharisees who he had just effectively called blind because they didn't see Jesus as God. They didn't know what it was they were really seeing there. So he's talking to the Pharisees.
But even just hearing that context, the Pharisees, they kicked the man out of their entire community. It's not just like they rejected Jesus as Lord. They're just like, we're going to actually take it out on this guy and remove him entirely. And so, Jesus obviously took exception to that. And
sought the man out right. and heard that confession of the Lord. You are the Lord. Right.
I know that we're in the fourth Sunday of Easter. So for the listener, we might think of something or the other. But in actual storyline, has Jesus been crucified yet?
In this text?
In this text.
No.
Okay.
No. And it does, I know that does get confusing yeah. if you kind of think of this chronologically in that way. But no. So what's happening here is this is a really good text to talk about who Jesus is, present tense, for us, and what happens when you have Jesus' promise in your ear, when you are elected for salvation, which is exactly what we're, of course, preaching and praising on Easter itself. So that it's a really good text to dig into what is really happening with Jesus.
That's I like that, and I think that's really important for preachers to keep in mind because of what season we're in the lectionary. And
yeah,
I mean, we have all this pomp and circumstance and Easter and all the brass and the trumpets, and you can kind of feel like we're meandering away from that
yeah.
in the season of Easter. But to keep that in mind, that this is the outcome. Jesus is depicting what is happening to you when you hear of the resurrection. So everybody who's going to be hearing your sermons, preachers, this is a good depiction of what
yes.
you're supposed to be delivering.
Yes. Yep. Right. Yeah. And then we're going to hear also what not to do. In the very first verse of this, actually, is where we get that. So Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you," and that's that amen, amen we get in John, "anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit." So right there, we start to see this demarcation, and it's black and white, binary. It's Jesus, which is the gate, as we're going to hear shortly, and then thief and bandit. And what he is saying there is, of course, thieves and bandits steal. So what he's trying to get at already in verse one, in this first sentence, is the thief and the bandit is someone who tries to steal the sheep away from where they are safe, which is Jesus, of course, in this 10 verses. And how do they do that? That is actually by claiming there is another way to God, another way to salvation other than through Jesus, who is the true shepherd. So right there in verse one, he throws the gauntlet down. It's
yeah.
Jesus. Or we're talking thieves and bandits who are trying to steal the sheep.
Jumping the fence.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's really, because I'm just going to admit that how this struck me, you reading it right now, is
yeah.
that anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. So that almost struck me like in the law, in that
yeah,
there's
that.
One option or this is the other option, and you have to choose the correct option
yeah.
to live by, right?
Right.
You can either go through the gate or you can not go through the gate.
Oh, I see.
And
right.
so it's like this like
Think
legalistic one or option two.
Yeah.
And there's a right one and there's a wrong
one. Obviously the right
one
is go by the gate.
Right.
Don't be a thief and a bandit. But what you're saying is that the way that you described thief
yeah.
and bandit was almost... If you're trying to read this in the law,
you can.
Well, then
but
you're the thief and the bandit.
Yes.
You are. But and remember, he's talking to the Pharisees, but, you know, back it up a little bit, think more broadly than that specific group of people at the time. He's talking to people who think there is another way to salvation than through Jesus as the gate. So in the Pharisees' case, righteousness in the law, their works, whatever form or fashion that comes out to this day, of course, as you're starting to get at, if you hear it in the law, now you're actually thinking like a Pharisee. all sorts of ways, though, the thieves and the bandits are going to be functioning. Hmm. Yeah.
I'm literally reading it right now, Mason, so that I can like read it the prescription way.
Mm-hmm. So let's keep going.
Okay. So the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. So that's an interesting depiction because now he's starting to go tell
go
the Pharisees
further.
What
yep.
they need to, the right thing to do.
Well, not the right thing to do. This okay, is a depiction.
Right
this is
words.
Jesus depicting what, how he works, how God's kingdom works, how faith works. And we get it right here in verse 3.
Yeah,
the
you're
sheep,
right.
Thank you. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So right there, you know, we have Romans. Faith comes through hearing. The sheep hear his voice. And this is, of course, passive. Hearing is passive. The sheep do not control what they hear. We do not control what we hear. So again, this is a depiction of what the life of faith in Christ looks like, how it functions, how it works. So think depiction, Carrie, not prescription.
And that I appreciate that we're focusing on hearing his voice because
yeah.
that's how we receive Jesus's promises
yeah.
by hearing. And that's a recurring theme
that's
on
faith.
This podcast. But even if you scale it back to the verses 2 and 3,
mm-hmm.
the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So if we think about it the way that I just described, that it's option one or option two, well, okay, if it's option one and you enter by the gate, well, the only one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Who is the shepherd of the sheep? Jesus. So there's only one person
right.
in option one.
Right, exactly. Very exclusive.
And then the gatekeeper opens mm-hmm. the gate for him. So then there's a third person. It's the shepherd and the gatekeeper. Is the gatekeeper in this analogy preachers?
I don't think we want to go too far down. We certainly, though, in John can actually even think of the gatekeeper, if we want to, as God the Father. Because we have these statements where Jesus says things like, you handed them over to me, Father. I protect them. I'm giving them to you, etc. I wouldn't want to go too far down
the literal,
yeah, exactly. But
role
I think
play,
it's
radical.
You're just fair. You're too much of a scholar.
I think it's a fair thing to think about, and certainly in John specifically, we do have other examples of Jesus saying things kind of along this line, where he's talking to God the Father, for example.
I do find it to be very, I guess, more calming
mm-hmm.
when it says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
Right. And that that's a huge one, actually.
Because it's
because,
tricky.
But think about what happens in baptism.
Yeah.
You actually receive God's name, of course, but you are also given your own identity, your new identity in Christ.
Yeah.
Child of God, marked with the cross of Christ forever, sealed with the Holy Spirit. So he calls his sheep by name, Kiri, child of God, Mason, my child of God, and leads them out, shepherds them, keeps them safe. That's what a shepherd does, protects them from the wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only do you get this in your baptism, but I mean, you can get this in preaching. You can get
absolutely.
This in,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's personal when you take the other sacraments too, right? You receive
yep.
the Lord's Supper. How much more physical do you want to be than
two
water?
2 weeks ago, my
and
pastor
eating food and what?
My
bread
pastor
and wine.
Did the communion, and he said, "Kiri, this is the body of Christ given for you."
Yeah,
yeah. It's the same. It's the same promise you receive in the sacrament, Lord's Supper, and certainly in what we call sacramental preaching. And that is sacramental when you are hearing that same promise that you receive in baptism. Absolutely.
Well, and then in verse 4, it kind of gives the other side of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that he goes out ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his name. So he calls them by name.
They know his voice.
Sorry, they know his voice.
Right.
So he calls them by name. Does that kind of go into the whole, like, it's more about the hearing than it is about the seeing?
That's part of what's happening here. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And this can actually be helpful, again, to talk about the passivity of hearing and passivity of our life as Christians, because I actually grew up across the country lane. It wasn't really a road or a street, from a huge sheep farm. And sheep are stupid. They are not.
Yeah.
They're not the brightest creature
God created.
They are not. And so the sheep follow because they know his voice. This is not like a moment of decision for a sheep. They're you know, pretty passive, stupid animals. So this is not like, okay, like you were talking earlier, Mason, I have just, you know, decision one, decision two, if I'm a sheep. No. They hear their shepherd's voice. They know that's safety. They recognize it and they follow. Luther uses this image of the passivity, and it's kind of like this sheep following because he knows his voice, of a drop of water clinging to a water pitcher. It's passive. It's a function. It's not like the water drop is thinking about, should I cling to the water pitcher? No, it's just what happens. So this is what happens when you have Christ's promise in your ear. You follow his voice.
I mean, it doesn't say the sheep follow him because they chose to.
No, exactly.
I mean, it says the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
Right.
And how do they know his voice?
Right.
Because he's the shepherd. Exactly. You know, it's like, it is all passive. I mean, even when you're looking at the very literal words here, it's not follow in the imperative, like, we're telling you to follow Jesus.
Right.
And then it's your choice to do so. That's
Nor
not the case.
Nor does it say they decided to follow.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They just do.
Which you would never say if you've been around a sheep. Right.
So then verse 5 basically reiterates what we said, how they won't follow a stranger, but they'll run because they don't know the voice of strangers.
Yep.
And then 6 is where it gets a little bit interesting.
Yep.
Because I feel like I relate to this verse a lot, because it says Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them.
Which part do you relate to?
You know exactly the part I relate to. I do not always understand what you guys are saying.
Right.
It goes over my head. Or maybe I'm just not listening. Which is
So the Greek word there for figure of speech is, it's paroimia, which is a cryptic saying, an allegory, figure of speech. So fair translation. But cryptic means kind of like, what's he really getting at? So fair enough that they didn't understand. But it's also part of what's happening in this specific point in the Gospel of John. Because as we already said, This is before the crucifixion. He's talking to the Pharisees and others, unspecified. Jesus has not yet fulfilled his ministry at this point. So we have a lot of the examples of the disciples, even, who witnessed miracles, who heard, who even would confess, "You are the Lord," and then not understand what Jesus was talking about in the next verse. So this was something that was very typical, that was happening at the time, and is even contained in that word of a cryptic saying or figure of speech. So no, they did not understand at that point what Jesus was really saying to them.
And this is an interesting question.
Giving yourself
if
a lot
Jesus,
of credit.
Yeah, well, that's maybe presumptive on my part, but
now he's all flustered, folks. Let's give him a sec.
If Jesus, what Jesus says happens.
Yeah.
So if Jesus tells this story and they don't understand, we can assume that
he meant
for them not to understand.
Exactly.
Correct?
They do not recognize his voice as the shepherd. So, and this is, again, we had just had the blind man from birth who's healed, who says, "You are the Lord." He recognizes the voice. He knows who Jesus is in that moment. And Jesus had called these same people, "You're blind. You think you know. You think you know God, but you don't. You're looking at him in the face and you don't know God. You're blind." So exactly, Mason, this is part of what's happening. And in that's why the context of this 10 verses is important.
Yeah. So when Jesus speaks, it happens.
Yeah.
It's not a function of your understanding. It's what's Jesus' word doing to you.
Right.
Which is important as we tee up the inflection point of this passage is verse 7. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Mm-hmm. And all who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture."
Right.
So,
and right there,
election text.
Absolutely. Go. And he says it, he said it twice. I am the gate for the sheep. And then verse 9, I am the gate, mm-hmm. period. In case you missed it the first time.
And the gate.
I am the gate for the sheep. And when he says that, so the Gospel of John has four, they're called the I am statements, four of them in the Gospel of John. This is one. But then we have, I am the light of the world. This one, of course, the gate or the door is the other way it can be translated. I am the good shepherd, and I am the resurrection and the life. Those are the four I am statements. And it's an echo of an Old Testament, back to Exodus, when Moses asks God what his name is, what God's name is. And God says, Yahweh, meaning I am, or I am who I am. It's a little bit of a circular in the mm-hmm. Hebrew. I am who I am. So Jesus is now saying, I am. And in this case, I am the gate. And then he says, whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So this is what I was alluding to or referring to at the top of the podcast. Jesus is categorical here. When he says, I am the gate, that means everything and everyone else, not the gate. These things are not the gate. The people who come to you saying, all you have to do is X, Y, Z, and you'll be saved. That's the thieves and the bandits. That's not Jesus. That's not the gate. This is Jesus going right after all sorts of heresies in church history and to this day, heretical statements and heretics who will claim, oh, there are many faiths and we all, you know, we all
coexist.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the purpose of baptism is to just declare your faith or something.
Yeah.
Rather than like a promise given to you.
There's some other way. Yes. That there's some other way to God or to salvation or to know who God is even apart from or outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus here is unequivocal. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So there is no gray area, which is why I said it can be an either incredibly comforting text when you are the sheep who hears Jesus' voice and knows it, the shepherd, or incredibly offensive because it is extremely exclusive.
Yeah.
Jesus is it.
If you read this without that proper way of it landing on in your ears, that you might come away saying, being like, well, I need to be a sheep. I just need to avoid being a thief and a bandit.
Right.
In verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't want to do that. I want to be the good sheep. So I need to figure out how to be a sheep. And that's missing the point. It's not up to you whether you are a sheep. The only way you can be a sheep is if you're passively hearing this.
Right. You can't make yourself into a sheep. You are made into one by hearing Christ's word of promise.
And I think that's what you're getting at with how this could be really offensive to hear this. Because
it can also be really scary for people too.
Because I feel like a lot of Christians, they like the other I ams, the light of the world, the good shepherd, resurrection and the life. Those are all like very nice painting depictions of Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of paintings of Jesus as
being
a gate.
A door.
Right? Because it's, what is that insinuating? That it is.
The only way.
The only way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only through him, you're either in or you're out.
And he's the one who controls that, not you. So on verse 10, when he continues, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So I'll stop there. That's the first half of verse 10. I'm going to say it again because it's critical in this text. what he is getting at that we hear now in today's context is the thief who comes to kill and destroy is going to be someone, something like this. All are welcome, that's the gospel. Love is the gospel. Open and inclusivity is the gospel. Being open to other religious opinions. All religions are equal or equivalent. That is the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's exactly what Jesus is getting at here. It's rampant in today's world. Obviously, it was when Jesus, 2,000 some years ago as well. This is not a new thing, but it's something we have to be honest about as Christians today. We make the assertion. Luther says in Bondage of the Will, the Holy Spirit is no skeptic. Christians must make assertions, he goes on to say. The reason Luther could say that so boldly, and the reason you hear us say it, and me now saying it with some firmness, is salvation itself is at stake. The thief kills, steals, and destroys. And that's anyone who is telling you, or anyone else, that there is any way apart from Jesus Christ to get to be saved, to have salvation, to know who God is. But now here's the good half of verse 10, the nicer. I came, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the life there is Zoe, Z-O-E, and it means both physical and spiritual life. So abundant is one of the keys in that second half of verse 10. And it's parousos, which means exceeding expectations. So he's not saying here, when he says you will have life and have it abundantly, he's not saying you're going to have more stuff or that your life is going to be physically comfortable or you're never going to suffer or anything like that. What he's saying there with that exceeding expectations, that abundant is that he came to give his sheep, which is all of us who have his promise, that you'll receive life, physical and spiritual, in a way that exceeds expectations. And so what does that look like? This is actually freedom from the law as your identity. Freedom from thinking that you are God and instead confessing you are the creature God created. That's when you have Christ in your ear. I'm not God. I need God. I'm the creature God created me to be. When you have that promise in your ear, then you are comfortable in your own skin, even as a stupid sheep, completely passive. You're comfortable as the creature God created you to be. And when you have that faith, that abundant life that Christ gives you, then you will pour your life out for the neighbor. You'll pour everything you have for the sake of the neighbor, not grabbing more for yourself. And that is true freedom.
And on that note, we've reached the end of this week's episode, my friends. Thank you to Sarah Stenson for teaching us that Jesus's I am statements, I am the gate, is an electing word. He is being categorical. Jesus says there are two options. You either enter by the gate by hearing the shepherd's voice, or you climb in another way, which makes you a thief and a bandit. Perhaps you initially heard this as something you need to do. How can I be a sheep and not a thief that steals, kills, and destroys? But as you heard Sarah say, this is a depiction of what happens when Jesus elects you. It's passive. Like a sheep, you hear the shepherd's voice deliver you a promise of life and abundance. Have you listened to Luther House of Study's other podcast, Sing to the Lord? Martin Luther said, next to the Word of God, the art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. To understand the importance of hymnody in the Lutheran Church, Lars Olsen and I sit down with music and worship expert Zachary Brockhoff each week to discuss the lectionary's hymns, their meaning and history, and how the music preaches the gospel. You can find a link to that podcast at the link in the show notes. Thanks again for joining us this week. Remember, Jesus is the gate, and you hear the shepherd's voice. We'll see you next time on Scripture First.